The placebo group had roughly twice as many errors on the subsequent test as the sugar group. The studies concluded that willpower is a mental muscle that doesn't bounce back quickly. If you employ it for one task, there will be less power available for the next, unless you refuel. To do our best, we literally have to feed our minds, which gives new credence to the old saw, food for thought. Foods that elevate blood sugar evenly for long periods, like complex carbohydrates and proteins, become the fuel of choice for high achievers. It's literal proof that you are what you eat.
Default judgment.
One of the real challenges we have is that when our willpower is low, we tend to fall back on our default settings. Researchers Jonathan Levav of the Stanford School of Business in California, along with Liora Avnaim-Peso and Shay Danziger of Ben-Gurion University of the Negev, found a creative way to investigate this. They took a hard look at the impact of willpower on the Israeli parole system. The researchers analyzed 1,112 parole board hearings assigned to 8 judges over a 10-month period, which incidentally amounted to 40% of Israel's total parole requests that period. The pace is grueling. The judges hear arguments and take about 6 minutes to render a decision on 14 to 35 parole requests a day, and they get only 2 breaks to refuel, with a morning snack and a late lunch. The impact of their schedule is as spectacular as it is surprising. In the mornings and after each break, parolees' chances for being released peak at 65% and then plunge to near zero by the end of each period. Figure 8, found online at theonething.com, compares the proportion of favorable decisions in the morning break, afternoon break, and at the end of the day. You can see how favorable decisions drop throughout the day, as good decisions depend on more than just wisdom and common sense. The results are most likely tied to the mental tool of repetitive decision-making. These are big decisions for the parolees and the public at large. High stakes and the assembly line rhythm demand intense focus throughout the day. As their energy is spent, judges mentally collapse into their default choice, which doesn't turn out so well for hopeful prisoners. The default decision for a parole judge is no. When in doubt and with willpower low, the prisoner stays behind bars. And if you're not careful, your default settings may convict you, too. When our willpower runs out, we all revert to our default settings. This begs the question, what are your default settings? If your willpower is dragging, will you grab the bag of carrots or the bag of chips? Will you be up for focusing on the work at hand or down for any distraction that drops in? When your most important work is done while your willpower wanes, default will define your level of achievement. Average is often the result.
Give willpower the time of day.
We lose our willpower not because we think about it, but because we don't. Without appreciating that it can come and go, we let it do exactly that. Without intentionally protecting it every day, we allow ourselves to go from a will and a way to no will and no way. If success is what we're after, this won't work. Think about it. There are degrees of willpower strength, like the battery indicator going from green to red. There is willpower, and there is won't power. Most people bring won't power to their most important challenges without ever realizing that's what makes them so hard. When we don't think of resolve as a resource that gets used up, when we fail to reserve it for the things that matter most, when we don't replenish it when it's low, we are probably setting ourselves up for the toughest possible path to success. So how do you put your willpower to work? You think about it. Pay attention to it. Respect it. You make doing what matters most a priority when your willpower is its highest. In other words, you give it the time of day it deserves.
What taxes your willpower?
The list of things that can tax your willpower include the following: implementing new behaviors, filtering distractions, resisting temptation, suppressing emotion, restraining aggression, suppressing impulses, taking tests, trying to impress others, coping with fear, doing something you don't enjoy, and selecting long-term over short-term rewards. Every day, without realizing it, we engage in all manner of activities that diminish our willpower. Willpower is depleted when we make decisions to focus our attention, suppress our feelings and impulses, or modify our behavior in pursuit of goals. It's like taking an ice pick and gouging a hole in our gas line. Before long, we have willpower leaking everywhere, and none left to do our most important work. So like any other limited but vital resource, willpower must be managed. When it comes to willpower, timing is everything. You'll need your willpower at full strength to ensure that when you're doing the right thing, you don't let anything distract you or steer you away from it. Then you need enough willpower the rest of the day to either support or avoid sabotaging what you've done. That's all the willpower you need to be successful. So if you want to get the most out of your day, do your most important work, your one thing, early, before your willpower is drawn down. Since your self-control will be sapped throughout the day, use it when it's at full strength on what matters most.
Big ideas. Don't spread your willpower too thin. On any given day, you have a limited supply of willpower. So decide what matters most and reserve your willpower for it. Monitor your fuel gauge. Full-strength willpower requires a full tank. Never let what matters most be compromised simply because your brain was underfueled. Eat right and regularly. Time your task. Do what matters most first each day when your willpower is strongest. Maximum strength willpower means maximum access.
Don't fight your willpower. Build your days around how it works and let it do its part to build your life. Willpower may not be on will call, but when you use it first on what matters most, you can always count on it.
Chapter 8, A Balanced Life. Keith H. Hammond said, "The truth is, balance is bunk. It's an unattainable pipe dream. The quest for balance between work and life, as we've come to think of it, isn't just a losing proposition. It's a hurtful, destructive one."
Nothing ever achieves absolute balance. Nothing. No matter how imperceptible it might be, what appears to be a state of balance is something entirely different, an act of balancing. Viewed wistfully as a noun, balance is lived practically as a verb. Seen as something we ultimately attain, balance is actually something we constantly do. A balanced life is a myth, a misleading concept most accept as a worthy and attainable goal without ever stopping to truly consider it. I want you to consider it. I want you to challenge it. I want you to reject it. A balanced life is a lie. The idea of balance is exactly that, an idea. In philosophy, the golden mean is the moderate middle between polar extremes, a concept used to describe a place between two positions that is more desirable than one state or the other. This is a grand idea, but not a very practical one. Idealistic, but not realistic. Balance doesn't exist. This is tough to conceive, much less believe. Mainly because one of the most frequent laments is, "I need more balance." It's a common mantra for what's missing in most lives. We hear about balance so much, we automatically assume it's exactly what we should be seeking. It's not. Purpose, meaning, significance. These are what make a successful life.
Seek balance and you will most certainly live your life out of balance,
crisscrossing an invisible middle line as you pursue your priorities. The act of living a full life by giving time to what matters is a balancing act. Extraordinary results require focused attention and time. Time on one thing means time away from another. This makes balance impossible.
The genesis of a myth.
Historically, balancing our lives is a novel privilege to